This morning I'd like to speak about a member in Christ's body. And incidentally, I didn't even know that we were actually doing this. It was kind of a thing that just came along with doing a membership. But the Lord always has his way, right, and leading us the right way. And so as I was preparing this message as well about the member in Christ's body, I was reminded, and that's why we had Psalm 19 read, because it really is a foundation of what God's word is to us. And as we become and as we receive God's word, that it becomes a part of our lives. And as we look in God's word, it's really like just looking in a mirror. And when we're just alone, right, we're looking in the mirror and we see our reflection there. And that's the way God wants us to be when we look into his word. He just wants us to read his word and be there all by ourselves and allow the Lord to speak into our lives, because that's what God does, right? And we can hear all kinds of wonderful sermons. We can read all kinds of wonderful books. But when God speaks into our lives, something happens in our lives, because it's the word that becomes into our lives, and because it is light and life as well. And certainly the bride of Christ, and we are the bride of Christ. He has put us in this world that we are to be a reflection of him to those that do not know him, that they may be drawn to himself as well and directed to him. And then, of course, we are there to live and worship to him, right? And that's all part of our lives. We are to draw people, but ourselves we are to worship as well. And Ephesians 5, I like the way that Paul kind of intertwines the portrait of the bride of Christ in the Old Testament and the requirements of the sacrifices to God. And he says that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And it's interesting, right, that he talks about all this spots and wrinkles. And really, what is our world all about today? We're always trying to cover up those blemishes, or get rid of those blemishes, or get rid of all those wrinkles that we have, right? And pardon me. One would think that it would be taken for granted in God's word that when you're bringing a sacrifice to him, that it would be something that is pure, right? Like, we have this idea of God, and we recognize who God is, that he is holy. And we would have this idea that certainly we would bring the highest quality, but that's certainly not the way nature works. We're always looking to be economical, and it's a wonderful kind of word that we use to be politically correct, right? Cheating. We call it just to being economical. But, you know, you always find the biggest berries on top, right? And you'll always find the rotten oranges kind of in the middle of the bag. And you find the bag, it's colored orange. So you think all the oranges are orange. But when you actually open up, they're all just like, they look like lemons, really. And, you know, the gas stations. I don't know how often it happens here, but I know that oftentimes the fellas will go around and they will actually have this liter. And they will actually check to see whether this is, you're actually getting a liter of your gas, right? And then, of course, they, you know, that baby hamburger in the picture, it looks like it's, oh, thank you very much. You know, that baby hamburger in the picture, when it comes onto your plate, you know, you know what it looks like, right? On the picture, it looks like it's on steroids. But on the when you actually get it into your on your plate, I mean, that thing has suffered a severe weight loss, let me tell you. And so that's all part of it. That there's that deception. And there was a certain lady that I know, or we knew. And, you know, she'd go to, whenever you have a gathering, you just give out little gifts, right? Well, she would always have a gift for people. But if you turned it around, if upside down, it was a free gift that she had been given by some company. You know, she just kind of sort of passed it on, right? And thinking that she could fool people by saying, well, she really went to a lot of work of getting this gift. But really, it was just something that she had received. And we have examples of this in the Word of God, of man just thinking that, you know, they can fool God. Here was Abel. You know, he thought he could fool God and bring an inferior offering. And then he got all upset when God didn't bless it. But it was he's the one that done it, did it in the first place, right? Of when he knew the offering that he was to bring, and he never brought it. And then the Israelites, obviously, if you read the word of God, God says to them that they weren't supposed to bring the maimed, the lame, the sick, the old animals, the sacrifices. So why did God mention those things? Obviously, they were bringing them, right? Otherwise, God would not have mentioned it. Like, he would not have mentioned those things, but they were bringing them. And so God says, look, I don't want those things. They are not for me. The red heifer was to be without spot and not secondhand, was not to have been yoked. It was to be a red heifer that had never been, as I said, yoked. And in the book of Numbers, God instructs the Israelites on bringing sacrifices. And over again, he tells them, yearly lambs without spot. He talks about the bullocks without spot, the rams without spot. And so when Jesus in the New Testament talks about his bride, it's interesting that he uses that same phrase or those same phrases, isn't it? That he says that he wants a bride that is without spot or wrinkle. And so this morning, let's consider some membership in this glorious church, which is Christ's body, which we are to be without spot or without wrinkle. In 2 Corinthians 12:27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. You, every one of us, we are members in the body of Christ. Being a member of the church certainly does not mean that we are a member of a certain denomination. We are a member of the body of Christ. There are all kinds of denominations, and we can be members of any number of denominations, right? But Christ wants us to be a member of his church. And we know that you can be a member of some denominations. You can be a member of some church way out there, but you are not a member in the body of Christ. And that's what Christ is talking to us about in his word this morning, that we are to be a member in his body. Some of you probably know this, but in Europe, when a newborn baby is born, for instance, now Clementine, she would already be a member of some church. Because when babies are born, they automatically become a member of a church, a government-sponsored church. And we had a lady actually working for us. She was born into one of these churches, and so she was trying to get her name off of the list. And she said, you do not believe all the trouble that I went to. Now, this girl was probably about 20, 25, 24. And she said, I've never gone to that church. And I don't want my name to be a member. I'm not a member of that church. I don't go to that church. In fact, I don't go to any church. And so she went to work to try to get her name off there, and it took her about 6 months. The reason, of course, is that when you are a member born into that church, that church is a government church, and the church gets taxes on your name. And so, therefore, every member of that church really receives some portion of taxes from the government. So that's all what's behind it, right? So how wonderful it is that when we are members of God's church, that there is a difference, right? Acts chapter 9, verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now, what a surprise that was to Paul. I mean, here he thought he was doing the work, right? Here he thought he was, you know, separating all those people that were not following after the law. And he was doing God's work. And suddenly now Jesus says to him, you know, you're persecuting me. He didn't understand. Paul did not understand what it was all about, was doing the work of God. And so he was defending the purity of the scriptures, and yet he was on the wrong path. And that could happen to us as well, right? We can become so enamored with a goal or something that we are following after, and yet we can be on the wrong path. And I just wonder, how many times has that happened to you? That you just think you're doing the right thing, right? Sometimes we even think, you know, I heard God's voice, so I know, like, this, I'm right. The guys that don't agree with me, whatever, you know, maybe you weren't for it, but maybe the congregation still voted to relocate the church. And you knew that wasn't God's plan. Maybe they decided to paint the church purple outside. That wasn't your plan. But anyway, they passed it, right? And maybe you started bus missing. All those things that we know that happens in the church, that we know that that was not the right thing to do because God told me it wasn't the right thing to do. And and sometimes the majority is wrong, let me tell you. I had an experience one time of where we were having quite a serious issue in our denomination, really. And we had formed a committee, about 23 people. We sat a number of times, actually about 3-4 times. We couldn't come to a decision. So finally they said, okay, we're going to nominate 3 guys. I was one of them. You guys come up with a plan. Bring it to our next meeting. And we'll see where it goes from there. So we brought this plan. It was supposed to be a 10-year plan. Like not just not just saying, you know, whatever, a few months down the road. It was a 10-year plan. Pardon me. And so we did. We sat down, 3 of us. We brought a plan. It actually was passed by the committee, went to the conference, like the whole conference. They voted it down, like, I don't know, probably 99.9%, right? Voted it down. So somebody came to me afterward and said, well, how do you feel? I said, I feel great because I think we made the right decision. Well, after about 2 years, it came out that we did make the right decision. And really the plan that we had made over 10 years came to be right to the very day that we had planned out. And so what I'm saying is that when we know that God has put something in our heart, right, it doesn't matter what somebody else says, and we don't start to argue. We don't start to make a case about it and say, well, this was, no, just leave in God's hand. We'll find out in the end whether it was God talking to you or not, right? And so we never have to defend ourselves when we feel that God is speaking into our lives. And when we are members of the body, we are members one of another. Romans 12:5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ. And everyone members one of another. And so here's the difference that it makes in being a member in the body of Christ, right? It brings vitality. It brings life. When we are a member of the body of Christ, we are alive. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we are one. So there's nothing that can keep us from joining the body of Christ. Grace is saying here, it doesn't matter who you are. But when we are baptized into this one body, it doesn't matter whether we are on, like he's using this big chasm there between the Jews and the Gentiles, right? And we know that in the Old Testament, especially, there was this very huge chasm between them. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, when you are baptized into the body of Christ, you are part. And we notice as well, it's not ourselves that we put ourselves in that membership, right? But it's through his blood. And that we are washed by his blood. We become members in that body. In Titus 3, it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so it was. You know, that work was solely accomplished by the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Not by any works of righteousness. And often that we can get caught up into this. In thinking that the things that we do or the things that we are involved in, that it's just part of our salvation. But the Word of God tells us just very, very explicitly here that we are put into the body of Christ simply by believing in him, not by any works of righteousness. And that's hard for us, some of us, right? To think that we have no part of it at all. Like we always want to lend a hand, right? There must be something that I can do just to please God. No. Because the things that we try to do to please God oftentimes are not pleasing to him. And one of the things is, of course, that we try to give of ourselves what God does not require of us. And we know as well that it is when we are baptized into the Spirit that the Spirit makes us alive. And we become alive in Christ. And we have that life of Christ flowing through us. We have that living relationship of where we walk with God. And I don't know how many of you make a point of spending a lot of time in the cemetery. But I don't mind going there once in a while and looking up, my relatives when I go to Alberta and so forth. But it's not a place that I really put on my calendar to go and do like once a month or whatever, right? We like to be where there are people. Like we like to be where there's fellowship. We like to be there where things are alive. And that's what our relationship is in the Son of God, is that it's alive. 1 Corinthians 6 says, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And then Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we have this spiritual vitality, this life that we can draw from the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the spirit of the life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and of death. It enables us, because we are alive, that we can walk with the Lord and do his thing, do the things that he wants us to do. And I think one of the first responsibilities that we have of a Christian, right, is to have this fellowship and to know that I have the fellowship of him in my spirit, through his spirit, because it enables us to walk. It enables us to work for him. It enables us to be those people that God wants us to be. And if we don't have that life, we're not going to have that vitality and that relationship with Jesus Christ. Another thing that walking with the Lord and being a part of the body of Christ, it gives us, it produces unity, right? Ephesians 4:4, it tells us this, that there is one body, and that means that means the true believers in Jesus Christ. There is one body. And it doesn't say there ought to be one body. It says there is one body. And sometimes we get these things mixed up of where we say, well, it's kind of like, you know, a little political, and there ought to be one body. No, the Word of God tells us there is one body. And we know that oftentimes, especially in this day and age, that, again, all these political correctness things, you'll find people everywhere that are, they're trying to bring everyone together and say, well, we're all okay, we're all right. You know, you believe this, and you believe that, and you believe that, but we're all right. It's not, we're not all right. Because the Word tells us that unless we are bought with the blood of Christ, we are not part of that body. And we need to understand that and not go into all of these things and say, well, I think we'll all make it. And there are those all over the world, I thank the Lord for that are washed by his blood and that are members of his body. Everywhere you go, you'll find them. And sometimes you can go in the farthest place where you think certainly there's no one there that even knows about the Lord. And suddenly you'll find that there's someone there that knows the Lord. And they are part of the body. Just as well as you and I are part of the body, they are as well. And we're reminded, right, of Christ's prayer, that we should be one. And this is our desire and our endeavor, that we should be one in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 tells us about that. It talks about being one body, the church. And then it talks about being one spirit. It talks about being one hope, right? One Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about one faith, the basic Christian doctrine given to the apostles. It talks about one baptism, the baptism of the Spirit. It talks about one God, the Father of all. And we need to understand that unity does not mean unanimity, right? They're two different things. And sometimes, again, we get into this whole thing of where we think that everybody should be thinking the same along all those things, but there's diversity in the body of Christ, and that's the way it ought to be. We should be thinking differently, but still having that same goal, and because we know that if it's just somebody just uniform, right, we don't have this much in our country, but certainly there are countries in schools, for instance, where all the kids have uniforms. They all look the same. So unless your kid has, you know, ruffled hair or whatever, like, you're not going to pick them out in the schoolyard. And This is sometimes the way the church can feel that they need to be, right? We all need to wear the same clothes, wear the same color, all think the same, dress the same, and all of those things. But this is really what we associate having part of the cults. When they think all this way, it's robotic. But the Church of Jesus Christ is a living form. We are alive. God has given us minds to think, reasons to reason things out, a living body. We are energized by the Spirit of God. And so the church is not, we don't get energized by a building program. We don't get energized by maybe a social cause or a political cause. And these are all great in their time, right? But when they come to an end, what do you have? You really have nothing. And you're again looking for the next thing to become part of. But when we are part of the body of Christ, we recognize that that we have this doctrine of practicality, which we find in Ephesians. And in when we just simply say that when you and I, he wants us to keep that unity in Christ. And we thank the Lord for having that unity in Christ. And being the members of the body of Christ, it brings that diversity of us being different and yet being the same, right? In Romans, we find that in chapter 12, for instance, it talks about one spiritual body, the unity, one spiritual body. And then it goes on and it talks about many spiritual gifts, the diversity that is there in that one spiritual body. And then it goes on, it talks about the unity of spiritual gifts have one goal. And yet the diversity of it is that we are all parts of the body. And he uses that illustration then, that even though that we have one goal, all of our parts of a body are different. And so it is in the Word of God as well, and in the working of the God in the church. And then in unity, there's no competition in the body, right? And so he talks about the gifts of the Spirit as well, that there's no competition between the teachers, between the evangelists, between the pastors. They have one goal, and that goal is to do that which God wants us to do. And so there is that diversity in the body of Christ. And we know that the body of Christ needs both of those things to function and to become part of something that's going to work and something that's going to bring the best for the body of Christ. Sometimes God gives us some wonderful experiences. And I had one of those experiences one day. I was driving through the savannas of Africa, actually going through the brush and going downhill, like just say coming down the hill from coming up here from the terrace, right? You're coming down. And I just came around a corner like this and just right, like down below me, like for miles and miles and miles. There was just a plain. There were zebra. There were elephants. There were giraffe. There were every kind of antelope that you could imagine. And I just looked over the whole plain. I mean, they were moving with all kinds of animals. And later on, I talked to a game scout. And I was saying to him, like, how can this be? How can there be zebra? How come all the antelope can be there? How can you have elephants there? How can you have all of these different animals there? And they all seem to survive. And he said, oh, there's a secret. He said, if you know these animals, he said, every one of them either eats a different grass or they will eat a grass at a different stage of growth. He said, none of them, you'll find none of those animals that eat the same grass. As I said, they'll be at some different stages. For instance, a zebra, they like this tall, dry grass. That's what they thrive on. And so every animal has that. And that's the diversity in Christ, right? That every one of us has a place in God's plan. And then another thing is that when being members of the body of Christ, it also involves some maturity. And we know that from our own just working with people, right? That maturity does not always go with age. And you know as well as I do that there are some people who have been Christians a long, long time, but you would never know it by the way they react or act as in a certain situation. And then you'll find some young person, and again, you'll just be amazed at the maturity that this person has. And so Christ wants us to be mature in him. And that's, again, a part of reading his word and allowing his word to become part of me. So that when something happens, I am, first of all, showing forth the quality that of Christ in my own life. And, of course, 1 Corinthians 13, right? It gives us the signs of maturity there very, very well. And Paul is saying about the Corinthian church, he said, they're divided, they're defiled, they're disgraced. That was the way Paul talked about the church. And Paul's remedy was that the church was to build each other up. Wasn't that interesting? When Paul mentioned all of these things that are happening in the Corinthians church, he said, now there's a clue to this. There's a way that you can get around of all this. He said, build each other up. And that is a tactic that God wants us to use in our own lives as well, that we build each other up and that we understand the talents that God has given to each one of us and recognizing that it is part as well in the church of God. Hebrews 4 says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Wow. So that's what we can expect when you read God's word, right? It's none of this like patting on the back. It's none of this like putting salve on there. It just says it's living, it's active, that something is happening there, like it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces the division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and the marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart. So that's what I can expect when I read God's word. But God's intention is, right, that it speak into my life. And then also, just lastly, the being part of the body of Christ, it means ministry as well. It means that God has given us all giftings that we are to use within the body of Christ that will help the body grow. And I think as a church, we need to be aware of areas in our own church of where we can become part of it, right? And give those things which God has given to us as talents and recognize that we are needed in the body of Christ, in this living body of Christ. Ephesians 4:16, it tells us we are joined and held together by every supporting ligament, as each part does its work. And that's what God, as I said, wants us to be part of his body so we can grow in him and work in him and be part of it in the local body, as well as in the extended body, as well as the worldwide body of Christ. And we should rejoice, right? It's an exciting thing to be part of the body of Christ and to recognize that he has a place for us. And I know that oftentimes when we get into life, we either think that, you know, we're too young to do anything, or we're too old to do anything, right? Too middle-aged, too busy to do anything. And so at the end of life, we can just say, well, you know, really, why am I here? There's nothing I can do. But, and then we have this idea, you know, that unless I sing in the worship team, or unless I preach, or yes, unless I'm a youth leader, or a deacon or an elder in the church, or, you know, hold some off in the church, I'm not worth anything. But God wants us to know that he wants us to be a member of his church. And he has a place for us. And we need to be reminded that that place that God has for us, that it's a place that he wants us to be. And recognize that when we're in the place that where God wants us to be, that's as well where we will be most effective as well. And so may the Lord help us to understand those things and to go for them and to recognize that we are part of his body, and then as well understand that we are important. I had one other experience which you'll read in my book when you get it, but I'll just give you a shortened version of it this morning. And you know, we spend a lot of time in the rural areas, and oftentimes I would go out on a Thursday. I'd have my car loaded with like projector, and we'd do about 3 services a day going around to the different churches, because otherwise we'd never get around to them all. And so at the end of the evening, then we would show a film, and of course that meant setting up all kinds of stuff on the car. We, you know, we had loudspeakers and driving around the villages, and we're going to show a film. Well, then we'd get there, you'd set everything up, put up the sisal poles, put up a sheet. You always put up a white sheet. Anybody know why you'd put up a white sheet? Okay, nobody's been a missionary here. Because if you put up a white sheet, you can see it from both sides. You can see the picture from both sides, right? So you do double action. So anyway, we'd set that thing up, get the generator going, which sometimes then would just like not be right, having the right power and all of those things. And invariably, we'd be showing this film and translating. And some drunk would come along because we're out in the rural area. And trip over the cord and pull the cord out. The thing would go down. Well, then the people would start beating on this poor guy or guys, right? Because he had stopped the cinema. We couldn't get it going again. And so it was after one of these nights. I was going to sleep in the church, and so I was waiting till all the lanterns were away. And I was actually just talking to a few of the pastors there, and they suddenly just kind of out into the African night, which they have a way of doing, and disappearing. Now, so I was just sitting there by myself with a lantern waiting for everybody to clear out of the church, and I was going to go there to sleep. And suddenly out of the kind of the darkness, I see this lady coming, and she has a radio. And this is not unusual because especially Tanzanians, they love the radio, and that's all the way they get news oftentimes. But as I was sitting there and before she came, I just said to the Lord, you know, I think this has been a total waste of my time. Like, here it is, like 10:30 at night. I'm tired. We've been out of the church. We've done all this stuff today. And I'm just tired. And I think, you know, I don't think anybody's ever gotten anything out of what I've been doing. And then I see this lady coming. She has a radio, as I said. She comes to me and she said, I have this radio. I said, I see that. She said, I need to talk to you. So she said, you know, a couple months ago, I stole this radio. But tonight the Lord spoke into my heart, and I want to bring it back. You know, that taught me a lesson, right? That when I thought that all the things, what I was doing were not important, that God's in control. And when I'm a member of the church, I can feel as though I'm nothing, right? But God is there to use us, and He knows how to use us. And we don't have to recognize it. We don't have to become aware of it, but we can just leave it with God and know that He knows our lives and He knows our commitment to Him. And that's what the challenge is to us this morning. I'll have the worship team, if you'll come. And even as that day, I just left with the Lord and recognized from that day on, I never questioned the Lord. I just did what the Lord was prompting me to do, right? And I just learned that I just leave things with the Lord. And that He knows the things that He wants to accomplish through my life as well. And as I said, sometimes as a young person, we just say, like, what can I do? Or, you know, what can I contribute to the kingdom of God? But this morning, let's be just reminded and encouraged again that as we are members of Christ's body, He knows us. And He loves us. And He's using us in ways that we have no idea. And sometimes we shouldn't have any idea the way God uses us and wants to use us. And so we can just rest in that, recognizing that as members of the body of Christ, that we have this life, right? It's life. It's just not a certificate that we gave out this morning. It's not a certificate that we put into our filing cabinet, but it's life. It's life. There's unity in the body of Christ. And there's diversity in the body of Christ. We're all different. And God meant it to be that way. And as well, we are mature. And that is also being part of membership of a body of Christ, of being mature. And then there's ministry. And we should never try to define ministry. Because God's got His own definition of ministry. And He knows what it's all about. I get a bit nervous when I hear people say, oh, I've got the ministry of whatever, right? No. It's something that God places within us. And sometimes when I recognize I have a ministry, I don't have it at all. And so this morning, let's just be reminded again that we are members of the body of Christ. And He wants us to live that way. He wants to encourage us along that line. And He wants us to recognize that when He has called us to be part of His body, that He enables us as well to be witnesses for Him, no matter where it is, and also to be usable in His hand, no matter what that means as well and shows up to be. And so may the Lord this morning again help us to be reminded of being members of one body, the body of Christ. Amen.